is on. An hour of fun, informative hockey talk with Predators PA announcer Paul McCann. Thanks, Paul. Former NHL player and coach Brent Peterson. And third man in Zach McCann. This is Slapshot Radio on Smashville's Best Sports Talk.
ESPN.
1025 The Game.
Straight up 7 o'clock in the Music City. Welcome in to Slapshot Radio on Nashville's Best Sports Talk, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Streaming live on the Game Nashville app. Hey, it's 615 Day, and we are celebrating all things in the 615 tonight as we inch closer to training camp opening on July 10th. And you know what? We're actually going to complete the back-to-back tonight. Last week, Wyszynski. This week, Merrick. Jeff Merrick from Sportsnet joining us tonight. It's all brought to you by Day One sponsor, Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry, Carter Church from Weikart Realtors, the Andrews Group, your real estate expert in Murfreesboro and Nolensville, and, of course, our good friends over at Cool Springs Wines and Spirits, the largest wine and spirit store in Middle Tennessee, and, of course, Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries, three locally owned and operated locations right here in Middle Tennessee. I'm Paul McCann. Our co-hosts are former NHL coach, former NHL player, current all-around good guy, Brent Peterson. Brent, how are you tonight?
Doing great.
You might want to turn the mic on.
Yeah, my mic doesn't work.
There it is. Oh, I hate it when that happens. No. Brent Peterson, how many holes did you get in today? It was a gorgeous day.
It was a gorgeous day. I only played 18 today.
You only played 18? Yeah. On a day like this, you only played 18. And, of course, our other co-host, the host of the Preds Watch Party, Zach McCann. Zach?
Yo,
are you enjoying your are you enjoying your quarantine, sir?
I mean, like, is anyone? I mean, you know, I kind of feel like I'm taking crazy pills right now. But you know what? Hey, whatever. This is supposed to be a reprieve from all that talk.
Absolutely. It's going to be a good one tonight. We've got Jeff Merrick joining us from Sportsnet. Always fun to talk to. And it's going to be even more fun because actually he's taking a break from coaching his son's Little League team. In wow. Ontario.
Hope and they don't get in the sixth inning.
It's going to be interesting to see what happens there, that's for sure.
Wow, a baseball team that can figure it out and play.
Believe it or not. But I understand that the union is not quite as strong in the TO.
Well, moms and dads have pretty good union.
That's true.
The tantrums look similar, I'm sure.
Yeah, the tantrums are very similar. So anyway, we've got news that has broken and may be broken because it hasn't been confirmed yet. Phase 3 opens up training camps. Official date now, July 10th, is when training camps will open. They're looking at about a 2.5-week training camp from what I keep hearing, 2.5 to 3-week training camp. So that means if all goes according to plan, gentlemen, we're going to be dropping the puck right around the 1st of August.
Just like we all expected.
Exactly. So who had August 1 for the playoff start in the pool?
We all did.
Darn, we all split it. But what's interesting is this. You know, training facilities are allowed to be open. Yeah. And I know, you know, Coach, you said last week, you're saying it again tonight, definitely, that those teams that are getting in there right now, that are getting the skating going, that are getting all that stuff, could have an advantage. Once training camp opens on the 10th.
Yeah, I always wanted to skate more before camp than I would do in camp because camp was always a hard thing. It was 21 days. Camp was 21 days long, and you had to play 6 games, and they're not going to have to do this time, but they're not going to be as ready physically. Mentally they might be, but physically they won't be as ready if they don't skate 2 or 3 weeks before training camp starts.
And that's about where we're at now.
That's exactly right. And every team I looked at 5 teams at least 5 or 6 teams have had their better players on the ice. Like Kane was in Chicago. He's on the ice today. Mm-hmm. And so was Bergeron and Marchand. And I don't know. I just think the guys should get back here and get working out with everybody. I know you can only do it 6 at a time, but still, you can still get back and get working out.
Well, if those 6 are, you know, maybe a couple of lines.
Maybe that ice in Finland and maybe they're getting better ice than they would here, but I don't know.
I think they might have some ice in Finland, yeah. Maybe just a little bit. But, Zach, you know, it was interesting because we were talking a little bit about this kind of pregame in the show here. You know, there's a training camp going to happen before the playoffs, and there are at least 5 teams that are in this playoff mix right now that changed coaches. What do you think the advantage might be for a coach like that? that might be able to kind of unlearn old systems, put in new?
Well, you said it right there. That's the idea, is if there were any vestiges left of the Peter LaViolette system, you can imagine they've probably been forgotten over the past, you know, 3-4 months that we've been at this. And if you look at this, this is a great opportunity for John Hines to come in and let these players know, hey, this is the way we're going to be expected to play. This isn't a situation where it's like, oh, look, the coach has been fired and now you're playing the next night. You actually have time to take in the work that you've hopefully done during this weird, tumultuous off-season or pause or whatever the heck we want to call it, and actually take these things and put them into practice now. To give a new coach an actual training camp, let alone a 3-week training camp, to where he can actually institute these systems, it's a huge blessing in disguise to have this.
Coach, let's pick the coach's brain here. You know, what happens when you come into training camp? I mean, you know, are you tweaking old systems, or, you know, think back to some of the training camps. Did you guys have to come back and, like, you know, kind of like a, you know, a sixth grader coming back to seventh grade, having to reteach a bunch of stuff?
You are exactly right. And it's so funny because I had to do that when I was in junior with the team. But I said to Trotsky, first training camp, I said, these guys are pros. They're going to know everything. And they knew nothing because they just played, you know, stick hockey, and they just fooled around, and they never went full bore in a scrimmage before. And before the training camp started. So you have to start from scratch, and you got to make sure everybody knows every system. And the only one, I think Peter had some good systems. So I think the only one they're going to really change is the neutral zone, maybe a little bit, but the D zone for sure. Defensive zone coverage is now zone man to man Peter was mostly man to man. He wanted you to make sure they keep it to puck the outside. They got to get into the box and keep a tight box and those kind of things. And 5-on-5, he's going to probably put his own ideas on a power play, which had a tough time again last year. Yep. And he'll put his own ideas on the penalty kill. I don't think he wanted to change those when he came in real fast. I think he'll change a few of those things to his ideas. And he's a really hard-working guy, and he knows the game. And so I think he'll change a few more things during the training camp that he didn't want to change during the middle of the season, what I'm saying.
You know, Brent just brought up a really good point that I'm wondering about. How does this impact a power play that just seems to be, you know, over the last 2 years, not good?
I mean, this is a chance. This is definitely a chance for everyone to kind of take this reset. And I think especially with the new coaching staff that's involved, whether it's Rob Scuderi getting more involved with things or if it's a matter of, you know, again, this is a brand new team, essentially, when it comes to coaching. I think what the only one who is still on there is Dan Muse. And, I mean, at this rate, you've got a brand new staff. You've got a huge opportunity to really take some new ideas and put them into practice. Because at this rate, everyone's going to be rusty. Everyone's going to be kind of operating just off base instinct. So when you have them in this training camp, you have the chance to actually instill some new habits and really take this opportunity to push the reset button.
Coach, you know, a lot of players, they always say that, you know, players are creatures of habit. Mm-hmm. So now that there is a date, you know, usually you head into the off season, you know when training camp's going to begin.
Right.
Now that there's a date, does that help focus these guys that can start getting into that, oh gosh, it's a month to go, and now I need to be here?
You're exactly right. It really helps everybody sort of focus on a certain time that they have to be ready to go. And like I said, you have to be ready to before training camp, because training camp looks like it's going to be 14 to 20 days. And, you know, 2 to 3 weeks maybe. And if those guys cannot go from 0 to 60, just like that, they have to graduate, work it up. But you better be at 60 going into a game that you haven't played a game yet. You can scrimmage all you want, but it's not like a game, and there's going to be no people there. It's just not you can get pumped up when there's people there. So I think that they have to make sure that the guys work hard now to the 10th of July, where you're halfway in shape, but you're not, you know, we used to go 6 weeks for training camp a long time ago.
Oh, yeah.
6 weeks, the guys came to camp, hadn't been on skates since the last day of the last year. So they'd come in, Gilbert Perreault never skated until the first day, and he says, my feet are sore today, Brent. And I said, well, why, Gilbert? I just put my new skates on. I haven't skated since we finished our last game last year. Now you got to be in shape. The game's changed completely. You got to be in shape. You have pulled muscles in the first few days. Guys are always in the training room more the first few days, because they're sore, because it's stepped up a level from where they're normally used to. And then you got to go up 2 more levels to get to a game, and you go up 3 levels to get to a playoff game. So it's going to be the two and a half, 3 weeks from now till July 10th is important. And then the 2.5 weeks that they have from July 10th to August 1st is very important. And then it's do or die after that. So you can't just go from 0 to 60. You gotta work your way up to it.
So as the date for phase three, July 10, if you notice, there hasn't been a date for phase four set out there yet. So, you know, I know we're all getting excited and looking for, you know, news anywhere we can get it as far as hockey goes to see when, if, how it's going to return. And good Lord, we've spent the last 3 months talking about it. That's for sure. So and we're going to talk about it even more with our good friend Jeff Merrick from Sportsnet. He's going to be joining us in just a few minutes. You know, they have been with us since day one of the show. The premier sponsor of Slapshot Radio is Doctors Jane Bacon and Aileen Kruger over at Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry. What a great staff, a comfortable environment. And you know what? Even in these uncertain times, they do make getting your dental needs taken care of a lot more comfortable. You know, they have an interesting way of the waiting room doesn't exist anymore. When you get to the parking lot, you call in and say, hey, I'm here. They come out. They bring out a little sign with your name on it saying, come on in. They bring you in. You know, so they really limit any opportunity for anything untoward happening while you're getting your dental needs taken care of. They've got all the latest in dental technology. You've got to go check them out, Doctors Jane Bacon and Aileen Kruger at Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry. Call them for an appointment at 872-7762. That's 615-872-7762. Dr. Jane Bacon, Dr. Aileen Kruger, and Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry. We brighten smiles. Elijah, really? Really?
Happy 615 day.
There you go. All right. I'll take that. I'll take that. Slapshot Radio on ESPN 1025, the game. This is going to be an interesting one, I can tell you right now. 615 day in the Music City, as the case may be, and we are going to welcome our favorite guest. Don't tell him that we said the exact same thing to his ex-partner last week. It is Jeff Merrick from... Oh, darn, he was potted up. Doggone it. Jeff Merrick joining us from a baseball field somewhere in the wilds of Ontario, taking a few minutes away from coaching his son's baseball team. Yeah. Jeff, thanks so much for joining us tonight.
Listen, the pleasure is mine. Thank you so much, as always. A couple of things. One, yeah, just running a little bit of infield here. All the kids are... things separate every 30 minutes. We have to sanitize everything, so obeying all the health regulations. And two, it is always a great day when I get to talk to not one, but two Portland Winterhawks. Earlier on Hockey Central, we talked to Cam Neely.
All right.
That 83 team won the Memorial Cup, and I always love talking to you, Brent. One of my favorite Winterhawks of all time.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
I'm
the only guy that has that distinction because he didn't like anybody else.
He didn't like anybody else on the team, just you. I got it.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, get Mike Vernon in for a cup of coffee. Yeah,
all good.
Get lost. Yeah, Ray Ferraro. Yeah, beat it. Nah, get out of here. Larry Playfair. Yeah, you punt too. I just want to talk to Brent.
There you go. I like that. That's true. You're in rarefied air there, Coach. So, Jeff, you know, we've got a date for training camp now, and the only thing we don't have is a second location. I mean, because right. I know it's not official kind of official, but it might as well be. Your network reporting last Friday that Vegas was one of the sites, the worst kept secret in National Hockey League history. But now the interesting piece is this: that limits now, that eliminates places like Edmonton. Well, no, actually, Edmonton could host. No, they can't. Edmonton couldn't host because they've got the Western Conference cannot be in Vegas. So a bunch of Eastern Conference teams are very, very happy right now.
You know what? I still think that at the end of all of this, the NHL understands how much Canada means to the entire machinery.
Yep.
Of the NHL, and they would like to do Canada a solid through all of this. And like, I live just a little bit north of the city of Toronto, lived my whole life in Toronto and in this area. and I know it well. And there is not a buzz about Toronto being a hub city at all, even though they've applied to do so. Mainly because, you know, our numbers for COVID-19 cases have remained the same. Mm-hmm. Like this is not a place I think that you'd look to establish a hub city. Unlike Edmonton, where Alberta, you know, now we're talking about, you know, minor hockey with groups of 50. Right. We're looking to even get that started in September, and Vancouver as well, who's seen a decrease in their numbers. So, to me, I still think that the NHL has an idea that it should be one American city and one Canadian city, and if so, I'm pretty sure you can take Toronto off the map, and I think you'd be looking at either Edmonton or Vancouver.
Well, but the problem is both Edmonton and Vancouver are in the playoffs.
What's that?
Both Edmonton and Vancouver are in the playoffs.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, outside of, okay, you get to stay at home.
I mean, but they were pretty adamant about, you know, a team will not play in their home rink. So unless they decide to split it.
I can't see them. I can't see the don't you think the immigration or the going across the border, you have to do two weeks of quarantine after that, and we have to come home?
That's the big one, Brent. That's the huge obstacle to all of this, is there is still and the Prime Minister, Justin Trudeau, has not budged on this so far. There is still a mandatory 14-day quarantine for anyone coming over the border. So, and for the NHL, and Bill Daly has talked about this, that is a non-starter for the league. That is not going to happen. Otherwise, we're looking at, I don't know, Chicago or somewhere else. But I just from talking to people in the NHL, and I know they don't want teams playing at home, mm-hmm. there is still a strong desire to have a team in Canada, just because they understand just how much this means to the economic machine that is the NHL. Now, having said that, you got Vegas, you know, hello, Eastern Conference locale. But I think in a perfect world, they'd have one in the States and one in Canada.
Absolutely. We're on the line with Jeff Merrick from Sportsnet here on Slapshot Radio on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Zach?
So, Jeff, looking at the matchups that are coming out of this enhanced playoff format, is there a particular series that you're kind of salivating to watch?
There's a number that I'm curious about, Zach. Like, I'm really curious about Chicago and Edmonton. I'm really curious about Pittsburgh and Montreal. Maybe more so Pittsburgh and Montreal, just because of the Carey Price factor, and because of the underlying numbers. Like, that is a volume shooting team, that Montreal Canadiens squad. And when you play like that, anything can happen. I think that their numbers don't really tell you how good a team the Montreal Canadiens actually were this year. So that one, I mean, you're always looking for the upset, right? This is going to be like 2006, where everybody rediscovered the game once again. And, you know, oh my goodness, Jonathan Chichu scored 56 goals and the Carolina Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup and we're all learning to play the game again. So it wouldn't surprise me if this is the hardest Stanley Cup to win and the one with maybe the wildest upset. The hardest Stanley Cup to win because, as we all know, the physical pressure that you're under and what this does to your body over the course of four rounds is tough. But you couple that with the mental anxiety that all these players are going to go through, all the distractions that come with it, to say nothing of this long break that everybody's gone through. I still maintain, guys, this may be the toughest cup to win. But as far as series that grabs my imagination, you know, I think that Edmonton-Chicago, just because of the spectacular nature of what an upset that would be, Edmonton finally getting over that hurdle, Connor and Leon just tearing the NHL apart, to see that crumble at the hands of a veteran team, albeit one that's underperformed greatly in the past few seasons. But I'm still curious about Pittsburgh-Montreal, because I'm still not convinced that Montreal was as bad a team as we saw all season long.
Jeff, I just wanted a question for you off the ice. When I coached and I played and I've been part of broadcasting, and I was a bad player. I was a good coach, and I was a bad one. So I was 1-for-3 on the. Is there any?
You were a good player.
So, anyways, I wanted to ask you. I love coaching because that's what I thought I was good at, and I couldn't play the game like I thought I could have, should have. So, I love coaching. So, is there any part of broadcasting that you didn't like or did like? Was there play-by-play or by that desk every night? Or is there anything that you wanted to do that you didn't do? Is there anything like that in your broadcasting?
I always wanted to play. I always wanted, I mean, as far as broadcasting goes, I've sort of dipped my beak in a lot of different fountains. I've done play-by-play. I've done color, hosted studio, done ringside. All of them have their unique challenges, done editorial shows, radio programs, podcasts. All of them call for a different skill set. I found for the longest time, and Brent, this still does happen every now and then too, I find television really hard because I have a hard time, as you can tell, being economical with my speech. when I have a point that I normally have the luxury when I'm on Slap Shot Radio, to have 2 minutes to chew through a point and eventually get there. Yeah, in television, you have about 20 seconds, plus you have someone counting down, as you guys well know, in your ear. And I had a really tough time with that. But as far as broadcasting, I'd like to do the Olympics again. You know, I've done it as a reporter in 2008 in China and Beijing and loved that. I've hosted, I've anchored in studio the Rio Games doing the midday show. 6 hours a day. I love that. But as far as, you know, new challenges for doing things in hockey, I love studio hosting. The one thing that I do miss, Brent, is I miss being at the rink.
Yeah.
Like, I still get to the rink a couple of times a week, but you know what it's like, guys. Like, you guys live there. Like, you're at the rink. You talk to the people. You get the energy. You get the vibe. You have different conversations. You're more informed. You get a real better sense of what's going on, and you only get that when you're at the rink. So things that I miss, probably ringside reporting more. And I mean, I do a daily NHL talk show, so that marries me to the studio. I don't get to the rink as often as I would like to, and probably from a professional point of view, as much as I should. So doing ringside is probably the one that I miss the most, or I'd want to do more of.
It's Slapshot Radio with Jeff Marek from Sportsnet admitting what he misses about different areas. I mean, we're getting to know the real Jeff Marek right now. So Jeff,
I don't even know the real Jeff Marek.
Jeff, if you were a tree, I'm sorry. Wait a minute. I had a Barbara Walters moment for a second there. So Zach, you got something else for Jeff?
Absolutely, Jeff. So. You know, we're going to bring it to the homestead a little bit. Who do you like in this Nashville-Arizona matchup? Is there a certain team? Like, do you think the Predators are ripe for an upset? Do you think this break has done wonders for instituting a new system? What do you think of this matchup here?
You know, I'm a big fan of John Hines, and I'm a big fan of how Nashville is playing going into the pause. Eventually, when we get this thing going, you're going to be asked for predictions, and I'm going to take Nashville over Arizona. I mean, the problem with Arizona, and you might spit this right back at me and say, well, Nashville can't score either, Merrick. I mean, the big problem with Arizona, man, if you go up 2-Cobb on the Coyotes, fold the tent because the game's over. This is a team that just cannot score. And, you know, this is why they brought in Phil Kessel. This is why you bring in Taylor Hall. As the only person, you know, here who's played, Brent will tell you, when you have to grind for every single goal, it takes a toll on you like you wouldn't believe. And that's where, you know, the value of someone like Phil Kessel really comes in. Someone that can just skate down the wing and snap one in easy. It's just like the whole bench is, oh, wow, an easy goal. Oh, that feels so good, because when you grind for every single goal you get, it just takes so many pieces out of you. And I think ultimately that would be Arizona's demise. Now, goaltending may be the ultimate wild card here. And at the end of all of it, Arizona may have the best, because when Kemper's on and he's hot, he's fantastic. But I'll take Nashville in this series.
I like that. I like that. He doesn't even know he's on Nashville radio either. So,
I got one quick one for him.
Go ahead.
Yossi or Carlson for the Norris?
So I don't know if I'm allowed. I know the professional hockey writers don't like it when you talk about your picks.
Mm-hmm.
So if I just whispered that the guy that I picked number one for the Norris, I can't tell you who it is specifically, but let's say his name rhymes with Roman Yossi.
Ah, I see. I see. Okay.
Hey, how about that?
Jeff, I want to ask you one real quick. I know we're up against a break and our producer's looking at us like we're crazy, but I have to ask you this. You know, you watch a lot of juniors. You're up there. Your opinion on Philip Tomasino?
I love Philip Tomasino. First of all, great family. Second of all, really hard worker. Third of all, has played in a couple of really outstanding programs. It would not even surprise me if this guy makes the National Predators as early as next year. I've got all the time in the world. Listen, they were crushed in Niagara when they traded him. And we know because Niagara's rebuilding, and he's the key piece there. That you can move and get a big return, him and Akil Thomas, who ends up going to Peterborough. But I love the guy, wonderful family, great upbringing, head on his shoulders, real good player, real smart player. I know Toronto tried to do whatever it would take to try to bring him into the mix and draft him. But Nashville's got a really good one in Philip Tomasino. Not only are you getting a good player, but you're getting like a good guy with a really good family too.
And the word is that he might even be brought up as a black guy ace for the playoffs. Yeah. So that could be really interesting as well. Jeff, always,
are they bringing Tolvanen up as an ace?
We're hearing that. Yeah, we're hearing Tolvanen. Okay. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with both of those. I mean, look, you know you need depth. And in this case, when you're in the play-in round, you're going to probably need even more depth than you would normally do at a four-round playoff. But it's going to be fun. The countdown is on. We're 3.5 weeks away from training camp opening. Jeff, we will have you back to get for you to look into your rather murky crystal ball and tell us who's going to be lifting Lord Stanley's Cup around Halloween.
Okay, I'll get my blindfold and my dartboard out for that answer.
Hey, Jeff, are you winning your baseball game tonight?
We're just running infield today. We're hoping to start the season in 3 weeks here.
Okay.
So it's a bunch of 8-year-olds playing AAA ball. We're hoping that we can start in 2 to 3 weeks, and we'd like to hit the ground running. So right now we're just running infield. We did a little bit of batting. The kids had a pretty good warm up and a good stretch, and now we're just doing infield practice.
You know what we got to do, Zach? We got to hook Jeff up with Mercado from Game Ops and get him to get this team down in Asheville for one of Mercado's baseball tournaments.
Lordy, lord!
My trip away. Listen, one of the best things about coaching youth baseball is trips.
Yep,
is the travel. And honestly, I grew up playing Little League in High Park in the west end of Toronto, and our trips to the States were the best. And we'd always come back envious because you guys have the best field. Every bag is full of, like, you know, $2,000 worth of bats. And we come rolling in there. Like, really, but I always cherish trips, baseball trips to the United States when I was a kid. And if I can bring that experience to my two boys, I'd love it.
All righty. Well, Jeff, again, thanks so much. Good luck with the team. And we will be talking to you again in July. So Jeff Marek from Sportsnet's here on Slapshot Radio. And we will be right back right after this, right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Greetings from Nashville. The new LA.
Slapshot Radio on ESPN 102.5 The Game. It's 615 Day, celebrating all things Music City. And you know what, boys? I'm going to do something that this show has not done in probably 7 or 8 years. Easy 7 or 8 years. But I'm going to trust our producer, Elijah, right now. Okay? Elijah says we need to take this call that came in. So, Elijah, we've got Heinrich on line 2 with a question. Heinrich, what's your question?
Guten Abend, meine Herrschaften. Good evening. Good evening, my friend.
I recognize that voice.
So do I.
I think it's an important question to ask at this point in time, particularly with Brent, Paul, and myself, and I'm not necessarily excluding you, Zach, but how important do we rule that the ladies in our lives are in terms of our pursuing hockey?
Oh, important?
Yes.
I would say critical.
One, number one for me.
Yeah, no question about that.
No chance of doing anything without her.
And Peter, you better say it or you're in trouble.
Well, no. Guess who prompted me to ask the question?
See, you're well-trained. I like that.
Yeah,
now, if it wasn't for Tammy and Claudia and Denise, I mean, good heavens, their support is just invaluable and critical to our involvement in this wonderful sport.
And as of this weekend, for Brent Peterson.
That's right.
Yeah, 41 years. How about
41
that?
41 years.
Tammy has put up with you for 41 years?
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Good Lord. I mean, Pete, he's got the two of us beat big time. I mean, I'm only sitting here at 33 and, 32, and you're...
I'm an old man now.
And I'll be 31 years coming up in October.
Wow. Man, oh, man. Yes, indeed. And you know what? That's an excellent point, Heinrich. I'm very glad that you called with that. And so Heinrich, I'm kind of curious, how have you been handling the quarantine and are you kind of like a caged animal? You kind of like Max right now, wanting to get the heck out of the house?
Well, Max is rolled up on my feet right now, so I don't know that I can consider him caged. So and he's taking a nap, but I'd have to say that. Lots of conversation with some of my counterparts around the NHL and all talking about, it does appear, you know, nothing formal yet, but it does appear that most of us will be doing our broadcasts from studios,
from
quite remote.
So you're not going to be on in the hub city. You'll be doing it from studios.
And I think that's going to be the case with virtually everyone.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, how are they going to cover this these games? Is it going to be the TV guys go, or you guys go, or you guys stay home, or everybody stays home, or have they decided it yet?
I think other than, and maybe even including the network guys, because if you've been keeping track of what the NBA is playing, the NBA is going to have their tournament going on in Orlando, and they plan to have all the broadcasters, or at least the national television broadcasters, on site in a studio in Atlanta.
Interesting. Atlanta. And they're going to Orlando.
Yep.
Oh, wow.
Okay. I mean,
because of the Turner facility there.
That makes perfect sense. Now, Pete, you've have you called games like that with off the screen versus off the ice?
Last year, Nashville SC. Most recently, Nashville SC at Indianapolis.
That has to be a really strange experience trying to call a game off the TV.
But there, then again, I was in a studio and they were pumping crowd noise back to me. But now, are they going to pump music back to me? Or
is Tim McGraw going to come on at the end when we score? And I love it. I like it. I want some more of it.
Yeah.
Well,
right.
It would be interesting. I said that I think they need to, get with either Microsoft or the folks behind Zoom and figure out how they can, take one half of the Megatron in each of the hub cities and put a Zoom call on of Predator fans, and on the other half of the, they have a Zoom call full of, well, four or five Coyote fans, and then see what happens. I think that would be kind of fun to try and get some sort of engagement, some sort of fan excitement into the rink.
Kind of what they did with the NFL draft, right?
Yeah, similar.
I saw that unfold, and the same thing with the virtual plaza for NBC's Today Show.
So
that's interesting.
It is going to be interesting, Peter. I mean, I know you're probably really looking forward to getting back at it, to having some games to call. And I have to ask you this, knowing what a big baseball fan you are. I mean, wow. I mean, talk about your dumpster fire in Major League Baseball right now. I mean, good heavens. Can't these guys get together on anything?
Evidently, no. And I think it's interesting, is it not, because hockey's two sides seem to be working very well together. And a man who was with Marvin Miller on the Baseball Players Association
yes.
for many years, Donald Beer, now on the same role with the hockey players, and they seem to be getting along, I'm going to say famously.
If you'd have told me that you would see Donald Beer leading a union, getting along with an ownership group, I would have just really asked you, what were you smoking and did you have any more? I mean, that's just insane to think of when you think of the acrimony that was between the, you know, Major League Baseball players and the union when Donald Fehr was in charge and when he worked with Marvin Miller. I mean, when you look at this now, I mean, they're even talking about, possibly while they're negotiating all this, oh, what the heck, let's do a new CBA at the same time. You'd never thought of that kind of thing happening before.
Not at all.
I think that... Go ahead.
You like some special... You want, something special on your salad, too, sir, while we're doing it.
You know, Pete, you're right there, but I think it's because they did a real good job in the last collective bargaining agreement of making it both desirable for the owners and the players to play together. And if one went away, the other one's going to go away too. So they did a good job of splitting up the revenues, and they did a real good job of everybody allocating it where it needed to go.
I mean, it's also fair to say, I think, that you only have really two major issues for this next round of negotiations for the CBA.
The Olympics.
Escrow and Olympics.
Olympics, right. Yeah. Escrow, yeah. And that's why the players are wanting to play now.
Those.
What's that?
It's hard to minimize.
Oh, no, they're both definitely big issues, but it's not the same level as, like, a salary cap is holding things up as it was in the past, lockout issues and other things of that nature.
Well,
I've gone through two CBAs now with salary caps, and it's worked.
Yeah, absolutely, and I think that everyone kind of complains about the escrow, but you've watched the revenues go up in this league. You've watched this league's popularity grow. You've watched the ratings grow. I think you're going to see, honestly, I think the next depending on what happens over the next couple of months, I think you're going to see the next TV contract be probably a multi-network. And probably a lot larger than the one they signed with NBC Sports Network, a few years back, Pete.
Yeah, that's the only interesting thing, because on the baseball side, and I have a feeling they probably aren't too happy that news leaked out about a new deal with Turner Sports that effectively doubles baseball's network revenues there.
Oof.
I don't know if that was a big help for them in trying to come to an accommodation with the place.
Billionaires arguing with millionaires, the most relatable thing in the world for people.
Yeah, especially right now. Mm-hmm. Well, Pete, we certainly appreciate you. Heinrich, we certainly appreciate you giving us a call tonight and certainly for the reminder of the wonderful women that support what we do here. And Peter, we certainly appreciate you joining us tonight.
Thank you so very much, and also there is Ogden, Next and Mala.
Gesundheit. Okay. That was an unexpected segment.
Off to have some Schnitzelgruben, Pete Weber.
I like that. Anyway, I think he's hit his limit on Schnitzelgruben, I think. I'm not sure. Anyway, we will be right back to wrap up this hour of lunacy right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. It's Slapshot Radio. Brent's ready to get on the ice. Play Brass Bonanza, and the Whaler comes out in them.
Every period, every game, every goal. I only got one goal when I played it, so it was fun.
You know, I'm going to say something controversial here. Maybe it's just my age, but I don't get the hype behind Brass Bonanza.
It's all nostalgia.
I guess.
All nostalgia, because you're right. It's a really weak piece of music, and it doesn't really get you hyped up. But you know what?
It was just from a
nostalgia perspective.
Are you saying that one day people are going to hear Chelsea Dagger and do the same thing?
No, they're still going to throw up. Anyway, Slapshot Radio on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brett Peterson, Zach McCann, Paul McCann coming at you. And, man, I couldn't believe that we actually had a call from Heinrich.
Yeah,
unbelievable.
It's
always good to hear from Pete Weber. It's kind of interesting because it's like, you know, I mean, Pete was a co-host of this show for 9 years. He was, your partner in broadcasting as well.
Yeah.
I mean, so when you look at Pete, it's always fun when he comes on the show.
Heck, it's been a night of former hosts. Jeff Merrick's hosted the show.
Merrick's co-hosted a couple times. Absolutely.
You know,
so
Pete,
why not?
Pete is such a great guy. He's so kind to everybody. Everybody in the world loves him.
And
every time we go into a new building, people are going, hey, he knew someone in every city that we went to. And he's just a great person.
Never met a stranger.
That's right. One time I was a rookie on the colored side of it, mm-hmm. and he kept calling the goalie a different name. The first string goalie was sitting on the bench. He kept calling his name, and I hit him, Pete, goalie, and I said, here we go, Pete. Goalie's not the goalie. He said, okay, got it. And then the next guy who made the save, he said the other guy's name again and again. Finally, I just said, hey, Pete, the other guy's on the bench here.
The guy you're calling is on the bench.
Yeah, but believe me, some of the outtakes, the rather interesting stories that can't be repeated in family radio, that's for darn sure. I do want to talk a little bit, though. We kind of mentioned it with Merrick, and this prospect is probably one of the more dynamic offensive prospects that the Nashville Predators have drafted, probably since Alexander Radulov. And I'm talking about Philip Tomasino, the 24th pick at last year's, at the 2019 draft. This guy, did a good job in rookie camp, good job in all of that, but then turns around and completely tears the Ontario Hockey League apart. Plays for Niagara for half the season. Niagara, like Jeff Marek said, went through a rebuild. This guy was traded for 10 players. They traded basically two full units.
Well, he's number one scorer in the league, right?
I mean, 40 goals, 100 points in 62 games, a point and a half a game. I'm telling you what, he's actually fourth among all skaters in the OHL. And this guy kind of looks like he's got it. And I'm really going to be curious to see what his experience as a Black Ace for this Nashville Predators team once things get going again. And who knows, as this team goes on, we saw in 2017 how important depth is, Zach. And players like this, I think players like Rem Pitlick, Alexander Carrier, Freddie Gaudreau. I mean, these are the types of players that, as you think back to 2017, you're thinking Colton Sissons and Freddie Gaudreau are those two names.
There was a great article on The Athletic today written by Adam Vingan and Scott Wheeler comparing the Predators' top 10 prospects to NHL comparables.
Ah.
And Philip Tomasino's was William Nylander.
I'll take that.
A player who has long been associated, as, maybe the Preds can trade for a Nylander-type player. Well, there's a chance they might have drafted one who's similar to Nylander. And if you look at that kind of comparable, that's not a thing that this team should be turning down at any time. You're looking for a guy who can come on that second line and just light things up in the next 2 to 3 years. That's the kind of person you're looking for. If you're looking at a future line of Elli Tolvanen, Philip Tomasino, and a Yakov Trenin in the middle, that could do some damage in 3 to 4 years.
Doesn't Tomasino play center?
I don't know, honestly.
I believe he is, but again.
Hard to move guy. Like, guys, I was always a centerman. I couldn't play the wing. I could play mm-hmm. center, do better at center, but mm-hmm. that's because, you're on the wall and you never, in the center, you're in the middle of the ice, you're mirroring guys and getting good position to get the puck, and on the board, they're just crashing down on you, and you have to be tough and hard nosed to get it out. So, I think he's an Yzerman type, not a Nylander.
your mouth to God's ears.
Okay, we'll take that too.
That's the kind of player he has the potential of being an Yzerman. Yzerman mm-hmm. was third overall. I know this guy is 24th overall, but mm-hmm. Tomasino, I like the way Merrick said. He says he's got a good family upbringing. He's grounded, and that might take you 3 years to get a guy grounded.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. But he's been grounded right away, and he's doing well. He had a great year. I think he'll be in the lineup next year for sure.
It's fascinating because Merrick said it and you just said it, and the interesting piece is I think back to when the draft was here in Nashville,
right?
And Zach, you were a runner for the Ducks.
I was indeed
that day. The interesting piece of that though is that Denise was actually working the media room, uh-huh. was helping prospects get through the there. And she kept hearing over and over again the scouts referring to the prospects. And the biggest compliment they would give were good family. Yeah. Kids from a good family. And it seems like that...
It's a hockey trope.
It is. It does. And it's just fascinating, though, because I think you see when those grounded kids that come up and, you know, and they know the family is well-grounded as well, I think this is one of those players that you look at and go, okay, this is a guy that's got a better chance because of the way he was raised and because of the surroundings he was raised in.
Yeah, he certainly has a better chance. It's not always works that way. But
not always, no.
You can get a bad kid that has troubles in that and still be a good player. But most times you have a better chance of this kid pushing himself to be better. And that's what happens when you're grounded and you have good family support and you have every support from your whole neighborhood or whatever.
Just well, you have to.
You have to, or you just feel all alone and doing anything. So I think the kid's well grounded. He's going to be a great player. I hope he's a great player. 24th overall, they say, oh, 24th. You can get guys in the third, fourth round that are great players. So
well, you
happens every day.
Absolutely. I mean, and you look at, you know, Jeff Kielty, when he's asked about him, Jeff Kielty comes straight back and said, you know, hey, we didn't think he'd be available.
Right.
Was the first thing. And you hear that a lot. You hear it a lot. But
Then the guy goes back and gets 100 points for you in junior hockey. That's when you know you got something there.
Then it's like, you know, basically, and Kielty says it, he goes, he did exactly what we had hoped for this season.
Right.
Not only that, this team needs a home run from an offense perspective at our draft pick. They need one.
I agree.
I think Tolvanen, he'll help. He'll be good, too. Yeah. He's come along, like we've talked to their...
They're working on him being a complete player.
Exactly.
And again, that's tough when you've been a sniper your entire career, and then all of a sudden you're expected to play on both sides of the puck.
Right. That's a lot.
It's a lot to learn.
And I talked to Scotty at the end of the year during the pause here, and he said he's really come a long ways. And Scotty says they'll all be ready at their own pace, Brent. So just relax.
That's normal. that's absolutely normal. Well, guys, that was a fun hour. A lot of unexpected stuff coming in there. We'd like to thank you for joining us on Slapshot Radio tonight. We're back next week at 7 p.m. We'd like a big thank you to our guest, our good friend Jeff Marek from Sportsnet joining us. Of course, Heinrich calling us up. Pete Weber joining us for a little bit. We certainly appreciate them. And, you know, we also appreciate our sponsors, Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry, Carter Church from White Cart Realtors, the Andrews Group, your real estate agent in Murfreesboro and Nolensville, Cool Springs Wines and Spirits on Moore's Lane in Cool Springs, and Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries with three locally owned Middle Tennessee locations. When you visit one of our sponsors, please, please, please make sure you tell them you heard about them on Slapshot Radio and really thank them for their support. For our producer, Elijah, our co-host, Brent Peterson, and Zach McCann, I'm Paul McCann saying good night and good hockey.